Today's an exciting day for the franchise because we really feel today the Redskins are going to get better. Before we go forward, I want to just give you a little bit of the history with this young man that to my left. I was fortunate to have worked with his brother and his father for a number of years with the Raiders. About 10 years ago, I was one of the people who called the 49ers to recommend him for his general manager job with the 49ers. Last offseason, Scott developed a scouting service, and I'm sure we were one of the first teams to sign up for that service. At the end of this year, in conversations with Scott, found out that he was interested in getting back into the saddle, getting back to doing what is in his blood and what he really wants to make his life work. And from that conversation, we're able to come to an agreement and bring Scott to the Washington Redskins. He's going to be in charge of all the personnel department and the personnel on this team. We picked Scott because of his great track record, but really the way he describes a football player, intangibles that he's looking for in a football player, and the winning traits that he has helped other teams acquire. With that, I'd like to introduce our new general manager, Scott McLuhan.
Drag up that diesel.
This is it. Put it all on the line.
It's personal today. It's personal today.
Let's start fast. Finish strong, baby.
We here now, but we ain't satisfied. Our will, our way, our win. 8-0-3. 1-2-3. Dominate.
Let's set the tone. Hey, physical football for 60 minutes.
Penetration.
This kid is incredible. They know what call's coming.
This is our house.
We must protect this house.
You are in the Loud House.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Your boy, Chris Dowdell, back in the Loud House, back with you on a Saturday morning, back with you. And I wish it was on under better circumstances. Again, and when you hit rock bottom, I mean, really, when you hit rock bottom as a fan of a particular team or organization, I mean, is there any room for growth? I mean, do you feel, Redskins fans, and I'm talking to you, Redskins fans, do you feel some kind of way right now? I mean, we've been talking about this for months. We've been talking about this for years. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Because the dysfunction is back. The dysfunction that we thought was all put behind us and all free and clear and in the past and in our rearview mirror when the Washington Redskins announced on that fateful day, as you heard at the top of this program, that they were hiring Scott McLuhan to run the day-to-day operations of the organization. He's going to bring in young talent. He's going to scout. He's going to draft guys. But, you know, I was listening earlier this week to one Grant H. Paulson, and Grant mentioned on his program that if you go back and you really listen and read between the lines at that press conference, I mean, the Redskins are literally telling you why they brought Scott McLuhan on and what his purpose was going to be, and you heard it at the top of this program. They talked about how they used his scouting service and how he was one of the top scouts, and a lot of teams had been using his said scouting service. So that kind of gives me an inkling and an inclination and letting me know that, hey, this is what they're telling you. They brought this guy in to be a glorified scout. And nothing was going to change. Even though you asked and the question was asked and you started to see some things changing with the personnel that was being brought in, the drafting of an offensive lineman – with the very first pick and not that flashy pick, which you saw a year later in Josh Dotson. We'll get to that later. But again, here we are with the dysfunction. And of course, as you know, unless you've been under a rock or in a cave or on the planet Mars, Nibiru, or wherever you were in this wonderful universe that we have, the Washington Redskins have fired Scott McLuhan. And we can talk about the demons, and you can talk about the drinking and everything that was from Chris Cooley talking about it in his program. And of course, Chris Cooley apologized yesterday for anybody that might have been offended, and tells us that he has nothing to do with the organization and in terms of being a part of the organization's plan to indulge us on this information about Scott McLuhan's demons. I have a big problem with the way this was handled. A huge problem with the way this organization handles everything. And I'm going to try to contain myself today, because anyone who's listened to this program knows how emotional I can get, particularly when it comes to the Washington Redskins. So I'm really going to try to pump the brakes today and really going to try to keep it professional, keep the fanboy outside the glass door here at CBS Radio, 106.7 The Fan, WJFK, 1580 AM Studios. I'm going to keep it at the door. We're going to try to keep it professional. As a professional organization, anyone who works in any type of real organization that's not the fantasy land that you get playing professional sports, let's take your day-to-day job, and let's say you have a problem. Now, your employer has every right, if you are intoxicated, inebriated, whatever you want to call while doing said job, they have every right to let you go. They have every right to let you go. They do. If you're not performing your job, or it's affecting your ability to complete your job, or you're in any way affecting the day-to-day business, whether it's affecting business partners, customers, you're costing the job money, you're costing the business money. We all know this. On the flip side of that, if you look at the flip side of this situation, if you're in a job that supplies or has said alcoholic beverage on the premises, aren't you a part of the problem? And then on top of that, if you know you are hiring someone with an addiction, you know you're hiring someone that has a problem. Now, I'm not saying the Redskins need to go around and hold Scott McLuhan's hand and but you bought this guy in knowing his demons. As a responsible organization, and again, I know a lot of people are going to laugh when they hear me say this, of course, when we're talking about the Washington Redskins as a responsible organization. I know it makes you chuckle a little, right? As a responsible organization, it is your duty to make sure that you take care of your employees, make sure that they are in an environment that is going to be most successful for them. So don't have alcohol around. Don't have things that are going to affect the business and that could affect your general manager. Don't have that stuff around. Now, again, I'm not saying that the Washington Redskins have to be altar boys. I'm not in it as an organization. I'm not saying that. Scott McLuhan is a grown man, an adult, and he needs to be able to remove himself from the situation. But there's a lot of things that I think are eventually going to come out about this situation. But again, the points that we're missing here is that there are members of the media that have gone on record that have said that there's more to this story. And this is all just being used as an excuse by the organization to walk away from a guy that's not giving Bruce and Dan enough credit. Now, is this out of the realm of possibility? Is it out of the realm of possibility that Bruce and Dan have egos? Is it out of the realm of possibility that Bruce and Dan would move on from a guy because he's not doing things the way that they want them done? I mean, you're talking about a guy, and I get it. If he's got a problem, he's got a problem. As an organization, you brought this guy in knowing full well he had a problem. Help him with that problem. Now, it may come out that the Washington Redskins organization had insisted and tried to get him in multiple rehab organizations. That may come out. I hadn't heard that. It had nothing like that had been reported. But that I'm not saying that it may not come out. But to this point, the only thing that we know is that 2 weeks ago, the Washington Redskins sent Scott McLuhan home, telling us, trying to sell us the bill of goods that he was dealing with the death of a loved one, God rest her soul, that it happened back in January, during a time when you needed your general manager the most, during the combine. That's when you need your general manager all hands on deck the most. Then we find out that Scott McLuhan's not going to be at the pro days, not going to be involved or around Redskins Park on free agency day. That's unheard of. So first they try to sell us that bill of goods, and then, of course, the story starts coming out. Everything happens. You know Scott McLuhan. And again, a lot of media outlets, 106.7 The Fan, everybody here reporting that, you know, it's a possibility, starting with my man Chris Russell, there's a strong possibility that Scott McLuhan days here in Washington were numbered. A lot of people jumped on, oh, this is outlandish. How could you report this? And why would you say anything like this? And oh my God, this is just unheard of. And I can't believe that this is happening. But lo and behold, all those reports turn out to be true. But again, it's just the pure dysfunction going on around Redskins Park. And it's consistent. It's contagious. I mean, it's getting to the point where a lot of Redskins fans are getting used to this type of dysfunction, getting used to having, oh, here we go. Here we go. I think people should be more upset than they are. As a fan, expect more of your organization. But again, we can't rally a group of people in this country behind one principle, because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a differing opinion. Everybody wants to do things differently. And Daniel Snyder takes advantage of this opportunity every single time. Are any of us surprised that maybe Scott McLuhan wasn't running anything at all? Are you really surprised about that fact? Maybe Scott McLuhan was just scouting players and it was Bruce all along. Of course it was. And now they're going to try to Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock is one of the top candidates. Of course, Mike reporting yesterday, he has no idea, or he hasn't spoken with anybody within the Redskins organization. But he's the top candidate. What better scout to bring on to scout players than Mike Mayock? Bruce is still going to be running things. But it gets better. It gets better, Redskins fans. Kirk Cousins was given the exclusive franchise tag, which he signed yesterday. But Kirk Cousins has some leverage. I'm going to explain to you on the other side why I'm proud of Kirk Cousins. But we got a lot, big show coming up today. Coming up with us at the bottom of the hour around 8:30, we'll be joined by Brian McNally, who covers the Washington Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. We'll get Brian's take on everything going on at Redskins Park, including free agency. We'll be joined at 9:30 at the bottom of the next hour by Jay Michael. The Washington Wizards squeaking out a big win last night in Sacramento in overtime against the Kings. We'll talk about that and the Wizards. Number two in the conference right now. They took the number two spot last night with that big win lost by Boston others last night. It's a big win by the Wizards. Another big game coming up tonight. We're going to discuss that and so much more today. On the other side, want to talk a little bit about Kirk Cousins. Of course, you can join the program at any point. Give your opinion. The question I'm asking today is, what are your thoughts on the Washington Redskins? What are your thoughts on how this organization is handling things right now? 202-803-6233, 202-803-6234. How do you feel about this Washington Redskins team? Will you continue to support them? Or if you're a season ticket holder, are you renewing your season tickets? And has the slew of free agents that they signed, has that gotten you excited about the season? Because that's what they want. They want you excited about these new guys. Oh, look at this shiny new Terrell Pryor that we just brought on. Look at this shiny new defensive lineman that we just bought in. Oh, it's going to be a different season. Same dysfunctional organization. We'll talk about that and so much more on the other side. I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Use the force and turn up the radio.
It's the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
You got a quarterback that wants to trade. I thought it was just a rumor, and I hope it was a rumor. But he wants to trade. Your franchise quarterback, your franchise that holds just about every record in your record book, is not wanting to trade. That's not comfortable. Like I'm not comfortable going into the season with my quarterback not wanting to be there with his teammates and not wanting to be there with his guys he always been with for the last few years. And now is, and don't get me wrong, he has his reasoning. Organization has his reasoning, but I just feel like I'm siding with his reasoning because this guy put up every number that you needed to see to get paid the big bucks, to get paid the Tom Brady, the Big Ben, the Matt Ryan money. But I just feel like you can see that they just don't have trust in him, and I don't know how, because this guy just about a few yards off from 5,000 yards passing in the year before. He went to what, 4,800 yards?
Yeah, yep.
And now we're still talking about franchising a guy who probably was, well, I think he was one or two or three in passing yards and was up there with some of the best names in the NFL that a lot of reporters were doubting. But at the end of the season, it felt like I don't see no quarter. Going against Kirk, he's like, just pay the man. Just pay him.
That was Washington Redskins defensive lineman Ricky Jean-Francois as he joined the Sean Salisbury show earlier this week. Excuse me. Got a little tickle in my throat. I'm just getting over this nasty weather, this nasty illness. Something going around. Just scratchy throat. I don't know. Or maybe seasonal allergies. I don't know. Excuse me. As I compose myself. Okay. Getting back to what I was saying, Ricky Jean-Francois, and again, we talked about this so many, we're in the exact same place we were this time last year. And it just goes to the continued dysfunction here in Washington. You have a quarterback. And again, you sacrificed everything for this guy. Because you were told this is the guy. You know, you gave up two first-round draft picks for Robert Griffin III. Then you drafted this guy. Well, I guess I should say Mike Shanahan drafted this guy. You drafted this guy. And then you walk away from Robert Griffin III two seasons ago. Or a season before that. Yeah, last season. You walk away from Robert Griffin III last season. And you invest everything in Kirk Cousins. This is your guy. He is the guy that's going to lead the team going forward. And for the last two seasons, he's done it. You've walked away from Robert. And now you don't want to pay the guy? I don't understand. I don't get it. And is it that Dan just doesn't want to give this guy the money? And then, of course, it gets better. And I'm sure you've heard this by now, but then Kurt gave him an out. This time last year, he came back to the table. 3 years, $19 million per year with some guarantees. The Redskins didn't want to do that. And I get it. Bruce Allen has done a phenomenal job at coming in and doing what, going against everything that we said we wanted. We said we didn't want an organization that went out and spent a gazillion dollars during the offseason. We wanted an organization that was going to put together true Redskins players, be frugal, and manage the cap and manage the money so that you have room to improve and bring on new talent. But again, when is the last time the Redskins have had a player like Kirk Cousins? And you will find no more critical person of Kirk Cousins than me. I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is Tom Brady. I'm not even saying Kirk Cousins might even be. Look, here's the bottom line. This is the bottom line. And I don't want to start taking jabs at Kirk because this isn't the time for that. You got your guy. You sacrificed everything for your guy. And you moved on from Robert Griffin III and you said that this is the guy. If this is the guy and he's done everything that you have asked him to do to this point, you got to pay the man. Stop mucking around. Stop putting us in a situation where, you know, now you're in a situation, now that Kirk has signed a franchise tag and you've pretty much put all the balls in Kirk's court. Now Kirk's saying, and this is a report that was recently released, now Kirk's saying, if you want me to stay, Bruce has got to go. I mean, is that Kirk's way of saying, trade me, get me out of here now? I know you're not going to get rid of Bruce, so you might as well just get rid of me now because I'm not signing a long-term deal if Bruce Allen is here. And quite frankly, I don't blame him. Look at what's going on around him and look at what the opportunities that's out there. Kyle Shanahan is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. McVay is now the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. While McVay may already have his franchise quarterback, Kyle Shanahan doesn't. This is, I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins, put yourself in Kirk's place. Do you want to be around in this mess? Do you want to be sitting around at Redskins Park dealing with this nonsense? I know I wouldn't. I would want to be on the first train out of here as quickly as possible. But again, everybody, this isn't on Kirk. This is on the Redskins organization who have consistently, time after time, dropped the ball. And then they come back and offer Kirk $20 million a year when you could have had him last season at 19 in 3 years. The money's gone up. Do you blame Kirk? And then you come back this year at $20 million a year when he's already guaranteed $24.395. Why would I sign that? Especially considering, and I haven't even gotten to the fact how ridiculous it is that they re-upped Jay Gruden when they did. And again, they're scrambling at this point. The organization is scrambling because you got agents and players saying, I'm not going to your organization. I don't know who's running things. It's too dysfunctional. It's too unstable. You got Ricky Jean Francois, a player who's here, going on air talking about how dysfunctional this team is. How ridiculous is that? You can't get anything right. I said I was going to try to maintain my composure today. I said I was going to try to keep it together, but it's just frustrating. You know, it's frustrating. It's sign the guy. He's put 4,000 plus yards, two consecutive seasons. He broke your franchise record for throwing as a quarterback and then came back the next year and did it again. Broke his own record. What more do you need to see? I get it. He only threw 25 touchdowns. I get it. It's a work in progress. But you already have a guy that you know that can get you there. You just have to continue to grow and build around him and give the guy more time to grow. All right, on the other side, Brian McNally, beat reporter, covers the Washington Redskins for 106.7 The Fan, will join us. We'll talk about Kirk Cousins, free agency, and everything else going on around this organization. On the other side, I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Use the Force and turn up the radio.
It's the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Hello, Redskins fans. Hello, DC. Happy to be here. Happy to make some plays for you guys and make some big-time plays. Let's go.
That was the newest wide receiver, the new shiny wide receiver brought in by Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder, Terrell Pryor. This guy's got a lot of upside. I am pretty excited to see what he'll be able to do on the football field, especially with Kirk Cousins coming back at least for one more year. To join us and answer all these great questions about everything wonderful and lovely going on over at Redskins Park the last 48 hours is Brian McNally. You can follow Brian at BMcNally14, covers the Washington Redskins for WJFK 106.7 The Fan. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Chris. What's going on, bud?
How you doing, sir? Thank you so much for joining us this early in the morning. I appreciate you. I know how busy you've been the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind with the Redskins. This is a lot to process in a couple of days here, squeezing in some big decisions and some obviously tough decisions in a short amount of time.
Exactly. Well, I know that the latest is that Benny Logan, the defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, will be visiting the Washington Redskins. What have you heard about this, and what do you do? Is this just, you know, is this a possibility, a good possibility the Redskins have a shot at getting this guy, or is this just kind of a visit, a flyby visit? What are your thoughts?
No, and once you get in the house, honestly, Chris, it's serious. I mean, that we saw that with Terrell Pryor. He came in, left without a deal, but still got a deal done. So, Benny Logan's kind of long been rumored to the Redskins anyway. I mean, he's a guy they figured, a lot of people figured they would target. They need as many run stoppers as they can get, to be honest. And he can do that. That's part of his skill set and something that he expects, they would expect from him if they brought him in. You know, probably not a long-term deal. It probably a 1 year, 2 year guy. But that, that's enough for now. They just need to shore up that area as much as they can. They're not going to get an elite defensive tackle or an elite defensive end. It wasn't in the cards for them this year. And in part maybe because some of those top guys were scared away by what's going on in the front office, and in part because it just may not have been smart to spend on some of them. I'm sure they would have loved Brandon Williams from the Ravens, but it's a guy that was going to get paid by his team, and they took care of them. Calais Campbell was another one, but that's kind of a Jason Hatcher type, right? Where you're paying for a 31-year-old who's probably going to be pretty good next year, but you don't know how long that's going to last at his age. So, in a way, this is probably for the best. Kind of load up on the mid-level guys. They got a couple lower-level signings, and hope that they can, for once, kind of solve these defensive line woes.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that's been ailing this team for years is just depth along the defensive line. If you bring in a few guys and add some depth, maybe you can address some more of these issues in the draft. But clearly the Redskins still have some holes on defense. But I want to swing to the other side of the football. Kirk Cousins, of course, as we know, signed his franchise tag the other day, and we all know Kirk is about the business. And there was a report yesterday that he wouldn't, and I don't know how accurate this is, so I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you about it, that he wouldn't sign here in long term as long as Bruce Allen was the president. But what are the odds right now, in your opinion, that the Redskins somehow miraculously get a deal done? Or are we looking at Kirk Cousins' last season in a Washington Redskins uniform?
Yeah, that's tough, Chris. I mean, that it's hard to divine at this point because there's so many different reports that come out. Now, a lot of them have him wanting to leave, and that makes sense on the surface. You see some of the chaos that's going around. You see the GM get fired. You see the two top receivers leave. The Redskins have done the best they can to stabilize that, I think. Obviously the GM situation is a different level, but you talk about your two top wide receivers leaving. Well, you bring in a guy like Terrell Pryor, and it's a 1-year deal, so it's not like it's long term. But it's a weapon. It's a guy who had 1,000 yards as well. They let 2,000-yard receivers go. They bring in 1,000-yard receiver. That has to at least reassure Kirk somewhat. And Jay Gruden obviously getting an extension too, at least tells him this is who your coach is. So the Redskins have done as good as they can in a tough situation to stabilize things a little bit and make it at least somewhat attractive for Kirk to say, okay, I've had my best 2 years of football here. I can see myself here long term. But, I mean, the more you hear, the more these reports come out, the more you say to yourself, well, maybe he really just does want to play in San Francisco or elsewhere, Cleveland, maybe if he thinks the Browns are on the right path with Hugh Jackson, and they've certainly loaded up on offensive linemen and tried to turn things there around quickly. Maybe that's a situation that entices him. But you go back to the same problem. Even if you want to trade him, teams know that you're in a bad spot, and teams know that they can wait a year and make their best offer on the open market. So they're not going to want to give up, high draft picks or anything like that. So the Redskins are, in a way, stuck there. They'd like to do their best to get Kirk done long term. But if he really, really doesn't want to be here, and if that's become obvious, then you have to just kind of cut your losses, and that's where they are now, trying to figure out, is this just negotiation, or does he really, really not want to be here?
Joining us right now is Brian McNally, who covers the Washington Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. You can follow Brian at bmcnally14. Brian, I want to, now that we know that Kirk will be here next year, and you look at some of the guys that they've picked up in free agency. Terrell McCain signed on a 4-year, $21 million deal. Defensive lineman Stacy McGee. Safety DJ Swearinger, which I'm actually a little excited about. And then you bring in wide receiver Terrell Pryor on a 1-year, $8 million deal. Have you? But on the flip side of that, you lose a Chris Baker. You lose a Pierre Garçon. You lose a DeSean Jackson. How would you grade the Washington Redskins so far based on how they've handled things in free agency, based on the players they've lost, but then also on the players that they bought in as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I'd probably just give them a C. I mean, they've kind of just kept steady, barely doing that on offense. I mean, you're kind of hoping to replace Pierre and DeSean in-house as much as you're hoping that Pryor can replace those guys. Let's say Pryor and Pierre are kind of on the same level. You're also getting a younger guy. You're getting a guy who's 2 years younger than those two, and that's a good thing, but he's not signed long-term. It's a 1-year deal where he's kind of trying to establish his value, and that has to be a little concerning. It's not as good a situation as having someone locked up that you can know you can count on. So, so that's an issue. And then defensive line, like you said, you lose Chris Baker. They didn't necessarily want to pay. They didn't even make an offer, Chris, I'm told, which is kind of shocking, but they really didn't like the production level for what price he was going to get. Chris essentially doubled his salary, and his sacks fell in half last year. And look, there could be some reasons for that. His teammates weren't exactly pulling their weight on the line necessarily. So what does that mean? They signed a couple lower level guys, like you said, McClain. Maybe you get the same production for a much cheaper rate. Although it isn't much cheaper, but and a McGee similar. That's a little harder to tell. I mean, he's not a guy where the stats are going to tell you what he does. So in that case, you're kind of curious why they thought giving him that much money was important. Obviously there's something there in his game that they like. that just kind of the bare numbers don't really show out. So, you know, losing Baker and adding those two, maybe that's a wash given Chris's production last year. So you still haven't gotten a ton better. Adding Benny Logan would help a lot there, because then you're adding a proven kind of run stopper, and they need that. And that, so that would be a good, if they can add him. Swearinger obviously knows Josh Norman really well. They're from the same hometown. You're shoring up safety a little bit. Again, it's kind of patchwork. DJ has been to a bunch of different teams early in his career. So that's, you know, again, you're not really fixing things long term. They're just trying to patch together here until they can bring in the young talent and get that rolling a little bit. It just hasn't happened yet. So especially at safety, it's been such a problem for them. So, you know, are they better defensively? Yes. Are they, especially if they get Logan? I think they kind of need to finish that signing off. They're a better defense. Are they that much better? They can make a huge leap. That's a little bit harder to see. They may be good enough to get maybe into the top 20. And maybe with this offense, maybe that's good enough to kind of think that they could be a contender again. But certainly it was a hard road to even get this far, and there's no guarantees yet, especially if they don't sign Logan.
Yeah, Logan would be a coup, I think. I think that would turn things around significantly for the Washington Redskins. They've had a problem stopping the run. He would definitely solve that problem quickly, or at least you'd hope he would be, as if he came in with the same production he's had in the past. Couple more questions for you. One I got to ask is a pretty tough question, Brian, and I know it's one that you've been asked before, not only by the local media here, but probably even by some of the national media as well. What is going on with Scott McLuhan? I mean, are the reports that we're hearing accurate, or is there, I've also been hearing that there's more to the story. And with that, where do the Redskins go from here with a general manager? I mean, you're hearing names like Mike Mayock being floated out. Of course, Mayock reporting yesterday he hasn't talked with the Washington Redskins. Where do they go from here with general manager?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a tough situation with Scott McLuhan. You have people with knowledge of the situation saying that alcohol was the factor in this. It's hard to believe that's the only thing that happened here. There was pretty clearly a rupture of the relationship of some sort. So it's hard to parse out. You're getting one side of the story there with some of those comments that we have been able to get from people close to the situation. Certainly the Washington Post had some pretty on the record explosive comments from people who in the organization who would know about Scott and his drinking. He was never sober or on the wagon. He was upfront about that from the moment he was hired. He had drinking issues in the past, and he figured he could handle them here, that he had kind of taken care of that as best he could. At least according to what we're hearing, he was not able to do that. Doesn't mean it's completely on Scott here. The Redskins have put him in this situation, if we're being honest, it's not a good look to kind of use anonymous sources to put that stuff out there. I mean, Scott was fired twice for alcohol issues. Neither one of those teams said a thing about it, right? You didn't see the anonymous leaks from the Seahawks. You didn't see the anonymous leaks from the 49ers. They just didn't. They just said, Scott's no longer with us. If you want to know what happened, ask Scott. But if he wants to tell you, he can. But we've decided to move on for personal reasons. That's what they put out. That's all no one knew any different, really. They wondered, but no one knew. This is next level stuff. This has a bit of vindictiveness to it that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because you don't have to do that. Given his history, you could just not say anything. People would speculate, but you'd send him on his way. Clearly there's some there was kind of a rupture in the relationship that would make somebody even go to a newspaper and say something like that. So obviously a tough situation. Scott's gone after 2 years, so now you go to his replacement, and there's no rush there, Chris, because the Redskins really never let Scott bring his people in. There are no scouts that were tied to him. There were no, people that he brought in from the outside who he knew. That should have told us what his power level was anyway.
Exactly.
And so you kind of have the organization on the same par as it was before. Scott Campbell in charge of the draft, as he was in 2014. Alex Santos in charge of pro personnel, as he has been for a number of years. Doug Williams there. Jay Gruden with, kind of an ascending role or more input even than he had when he started as head coach a couple of years back. And Bruce Allen in charge of the whole thing. So, yes, they may go out and find a new GM, and there's going to be a list of candidates to trickle out here in the next couple of days, and Mayock probably is one of them. But in the end, there's no real rush for them to do anything until after the draft if they want to fill that spot. Hopefully this time they'll say what the role of that person is and allow him to do his or her job.
One final question for you, Brian. Have other than Benny Logan, any other news on other people visiting the Washington Redskins in terms of free agents today?
Yeah, not as far as I know, Chris. Sometimes that stuff gets kept pretty close to the vest. Mm-hmm. They could still go after some guys, but, they mm-hmm. got a safety, and they're now targeting their third defensive lineman. That's about right. Then you can kind of turn in-house a little bit. If you could get Greg Toler signed, maybe they need a depth corner still. So he's a guy I think they would want to, they have tried to keep in touch with, and probably won't have a ton of offers on the open market. So, if you can re-sign a guy like that, maybe John Sullivan, backup center, would be a good fit there as well. Those kind of guys, the kind of lower level in-house free agents, but probably the guys they'll target next, along with maybe some more depth players. Running back, you can probably address that in the draft. They've filled the main needs they have. Again, they haven't fixed them, but they've at least been able to bring some guys in who they think can play a little bit. And so they go from there. See if in the draft you can really get an impact young player and maybe you feel a little bit better about where this roster is headed into next year.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Brian McNally, who covers the Washington Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. You can follow Brian at BMcNally14 to get all the latest on the Redskins, free agency, everything going on with the organization. Brian, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Thanks for getting up early for me.
No worries, Chris. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There he goes, Brian McNally. What a great guy. What a great guy for joining the program so early in the morning. I can't say that I would have been equally as giving of my time, especially considering how much Brian has been through in the last, his season never stops, people. I mean, Brian is consistently, constantly working 12 months. 12 months. I mean, he might get a little bit of a break here after the draft once things start to calm down. But then there's OTAs and everything that start right back up after, within a couple months. So, I mean, he is one of the hardest working men I know, and I thank Brian for joining us. But Brian makes several good points, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the very first segment. The Seattle Seahawks let McLuhan go for the same problem. The 49ers let Scott McLuhan go for the same problem and never mentioned it. Again, that kind of lets you know everything you need to know about how Bruce Allen and other people within this organization, probably more so Bruce Allen, but how a lot of people, maybe even Jay Gruden, I don't know, but I'm not going to speculate that, but maybe even there's been sources out there that have said that Jay and Bruce didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. But clearly, it's clear that Bruce and Jay didn't see eye to eye, and there was some big blow up. But again, the fact that you had some representative within the organization leak this information out at the time in which they did is just, It lets you know everything you need to know about why these two split up. All right, on the other side, we'll jump into the loudmouth. We're not done with Redskins. At the top of the hour, we'll get back into talking a little more Redskins. Free agency news, talked about a little bit there. We'll talk about where the Redskins go from here. Also in the second hour, and we'll jump in and be joined by J. Michael from CSN, talking a little Wizards in the next hour as well. I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
The Loud House on CBS Sports Radio.
Have you felt it?
1580.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
We ask for chance is fair.
We ask for chance is fair.
Chance equal our strife.
Chance equal our strife.
Chance do or dare.
Chance do or dare.
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the code.
Let it be by the code.
Faith and honor held high.
Faith and honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Let's stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Day by day.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
We get better and better.
Till we can't beat B.
We can't beat B.
Boom, beat B.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. We are back for another edition of the Loudmouth. Let's go ahead and jump right into this. RG3 says, of course, as you know, RG3 was released from the Cleveland Browns yesterday. And no Redskins fan is more excited about this than I. Because, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, there's no more Scott McLuhan. I mean, Jay's still here. But Kirk might be out the door. I mean, is there a possibility of an RG3 Daniel Snyder reunion? No team has ever done this before. But again, then again, no team has ever done what the Washington Redskins did recently in letting 2,000-yard wide receivers leave in the same free agency. But that's another story. RG3 says, I'll play football again if it's God's will.
Sometimes you have to throw a little swag on it.
Yeah, you just got to throw a little swag on it, RG3. RG3 says it's up to God whether he'll play NFL football again. With sources close to the quarterback saying he believes everything happens for a reason, including losing his job. Griffin was cut by the Browns early Friday, and there's been speculation he might not have very many NFL chances left due to injuries and inconsistent play. Go figure that. That sounds familiar. We spoke to someone in the quarterback's inner circle who says, although Roberts 100% still wants to play, he tells people close to him it's all in the hands of the man upstairs. He believes in faith and fate.
Sometimes you have to throw a little swag on it.
And a little swag, I guess. And he says it's God's plan for him to play again. If it's God's plan for him to play again, he will. RG3 posted a picture to his Instagram. RG3 posted a picture to his Instagram a few moments ago, stating that Cleveland will always and thanking all the fans in Cleveland for supporting him with the hashtag. Can the work continues and I'm hungry.
Sometimes you have to throw a little swag on it.
Do what you got to do, RG3. And there we go with the old tweets. I think this guy just can't help himself. All right. Here's the funny story. OJ Simpson could be freed and on reality TV in 2017.
What did you say?
I said OJ. He's going to get out. And he might already have a reality show lined up.
What did you say?
OJ is getting out of jail and getting on TV.
What did you say?
I'm not saying it again. OJ Simpson could be released from prison as early as October. And the buzz in the reality TV industry is that some producers are getting ready to scramble to sign him. We've contacted a number of reality TV show productions, companies, TV agents, and platforms where such a show could run. And the reaction ranges from recoiling to disgust to pouncing on the opportunity. None of the people to whom we spoke have wanted to be quoted by name, but they all say the most likely formats are documentaries and interview shows. All right, I'm done with that. Can you imagine an OJ reality show? I mean, the show's not going to be, you know, what would have been better, and I don't mean this in any No, I'm not even going to say that. It's just going to offend someone. OJ on reality TV. We'll just leave it there. Okay, Shaq. Of course, as you all know, Shaq and Big Show have been going back and forth about possibly meeting each other at WrestleMania. Well, recently, the Big Show, who's been in tremendous shape, has gotten in tremendous shape. He's got his abs all cut. He's all cut and ready to go. Well, Shaq fires back at the Big Show, and he says, "Show, I got abs too."
No.
I know. It's the biggest abdominal showdown ever. Shaq hitting back at Big Show with some stomach muscles of his own.
No.
After Big Show posted pics of his own gut muscles last month, some people thought Shaq was backing out of the WrestleMania 33 match because he was scared of the 7-footer's impressive physique.
No.
But Shaq tells Big Show is scared. He called me fat. I am fat. Pretty handsome and tall. P-H-A-T. Can you dig it?
No.
Can you dig it, sucker? That would have been a perfect Booker T moment there. All right, I ain't gonna read this last story. All right, on the other side, we'll jump into more Redskins stuff. Redskins free agency. We talked about it with Brian McNally a little bit. We touched on some of the players that they've brought in. We'll break those down. We'll take a look at some of the guys the Redskins still need to sign. And we'll talk about where the Redskins go from here. On the other side, I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
It's the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Washington, D.C., what it do? We reporting live right now. I'm in my Sean T jersey. I'm in my Idol jersey right now. I want to thank all the whole organization for the opportunity. It's a chance of a lifetime, man. I want to appreciate. I want to thank the coaches, Coach Gruden, the owners, the general managers. Let's get this thing going, man. We're on the bigger and better things. We got to elevate. It's time to get NFC championships, Super Bowl rings. We gotta be heading in the right direction. And I'm so glad that I am with the Washington Redskins, man. And I'm gonna pick up where Sean Taylor left off. That's a lot of shoes, that's a lot of weight, but I'm putting that on my shoulder. I'm gonna pick up where Sean Taylor left off. Sean Taylor reincarnated, man. You already know it. That's my idol, it's been since day one. And we here now, man. Everything else, old news. Silence to all the haters.
That was newly assigned safety for the Washington Redskins, DJ Swearinger. And, I mean, the guy's bringing energy. The guy sounds like he's excited to be here. As a Redskins fan, you can appreciate the fact that he appreciates the greatness that was Sean Taylor. You can appreciate the fact that he wants all the noise to be silenced and let's just play football. And at the end of the day, despite who is in the front office, despite how much we may dislike Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder, there's still guys on this team that you still support. I mean, do you still support Kirk Cousins? I know I do. Probably more now than I ever have because I understand and appreciate what the guy's going through. I mean, and again, I ask you, put yourself in Kirk's place and look at your management. You know, inside of 4 years, you've lost the Shanahans, guys that you knew supported you. Now you lose McVay. And then you don't really know how Jay Gruden feels about you, but you know Jay supports you. I don't know. I mean, I still say that Jay wouldn't mind taking a run at Colt at starting quarterback. But that's, you know, now that's a whole nother can of worms we won't jump into. But again, I don't blame Kirk. Kirk's holding all the cards here, and he's doing it the right way. Hey, okay. I gave you 3 years and 19 mil. You don't want to do that? What more do you need to see from me? You don't want to do that? Okay, the price tag's going up. Oh, Sean McVay's gone. Scott McLuhan's gone. These are guys I knew that supported me and wanted me to get me a long-term deal and wanted me here. The price tag just went up. Don't know if I'm re-signing here. I don't blame Kirk. I'd be gone. I'd be gone. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, what more does the guy need to do? And he's going to come back next year, and he's going to do it again, even though you took 2 1,000-yard receivers away from him. And speaking of that, I mean, everybody's making a huge deal about this, and it is a big deal when you lose a Pierre Garçon to DeSean Jackson. But I've said this, and I said this several times last season, and I will say it again. I still believe that DeSean Jackson being here, has stunted the growth of the player that Jamison Crowder is going to be. I strongly do and firmly do believe that this kid has the potential to be something special. Now we're going to get an opportunity to see what, and again, Scott McLuhan drafted guy. I don't know, maybe Bruce, but Scott McLuhan definitely was here. And it was under his tutelage and under his reign that Jamison Crowder was brought in. But again, I think that, you know, you look at Terrell Pryor, you look at Jamison Crowder, you look at Grant also possibly coming back on this team as well. And then you still got Josh Dotson, and you don't know what you have there. But if he plays up to the level that he played with his final year in college, and I think having so many weapons here last year really didn't give us an opportunity to see what this kid can do. If he can come back healthy, he's going to get the opportunities. Even though you brought in Terrell Pryor, you're still going to be expecting big things from him. You have an opportunity to have a good, solid wide receiving, good, solid passing core with those four guys at wide receiver. Not to mention, you still got Vernon Davis and you still got Jordan Reed, if Jordan Reed can stay healthy. So, yes, losing Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson hurt the Redskins significantly, but I still think that you are okay. That's the reason why you went out and drafted Josh Dotson. That's the reason you went out and drafted a Jamison Crowder. That's the reason you went out and drafted a Ryan Grant, brought a Ryan Grant in 2 or 3 seasons ago to prepare yourself for the day that the price tag was just too high for DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon, and you move on, you get younger, next man up. So in that aspect, I'm not that concerned because I know Kirk Cousins is still going to be able to build with these guys. He's still going to be able to do what Kirk always does. You know, you look at how much time Kirk's had with a couple of different receivers. It still didn't stop him from connecting with Vernon Davis. And as long as guys come in, they know the system, they get to know Kirk. Kirk comes in with the work ethic that he's always had, the business acumen that he's always had, come to work, briefcase, hard hat on, let's get to work. I'm not worried about the contract. I'm not worried about the front office. Only thing I'm worried about is the other 12 guys, right, or the other 10 guys right here on the field with me. We're going to line up, and we're going to go out, make some plays, win some games, and get some more guys some checks. Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, I hope you sent Kirk a gift because you got those fat checks thanks to Kirk. It's all because of Kirk. I mean, I'll give credit where credit is due. All right, you look at some of the other guys, and you heard Brian McNally talk about briefly some of the guys you like to see him go back and re-up. You look at the three guys that they bought in, defensive lineman Terrell McCain. You bring in Stacy McGee from the Oakland Raiders at a 5-year, $25 million deal. You bring in a DJ Swearinger. I like Swearinger signing. I know the guy's been at a few different spots, you know, but Swearinger right now is better than what you already currently have at safety. So anybody that doesn't say that they haven't upgraded that position, you need to go back and watch the 2016 Washington Redskins defense because they consistently, that's a position that has consistently been a problem for this team. So bringing Swearinger in, who's coming in from a pretty darn good defense in with the Cardinals, I think is an upgrade. Terrell Pryor, I think, was a coup for this team, not to mention the fact that you get him on a one-year, $8 million deal. There's speculation about what kind of locker room guy this guy is. So you get him in for 1 year, make him prove himself again for 1 year. Now, the flip side of that is if he comes out and he has a great season, he's back on the open market next year, and, you know, it might be a situation where you may end up having to spend more money, or maybe you give him more guaranteed money on a long-term deal if you want to keep him here. But the bottom line is you got younger. You know, you got younger across the defensive line, with the exception of McCain, like McNally said, it's a little older. It's more along those lines of that Jason Hatcher deal, another Cowboy, along the lines of those the Jason Hatcher deal. He's not going to be every down guy. But again, it's depth. And we still have no idea what this team intends to do in the draft. One of the things, and that's, we'll talk more about the draft as we get closer to April and the closer to the draft, but one thing you would expect them to do is to keep the focus on defense in the draft. Maybe what I'd like to see them do is maybe get a little more depth along the offensive line. I'd like to see them start looking at Morgan Moses' contract. Morgan Moses, I think, has proven himself that he can carry the load along that right side of the line. Maybe even taking a look at some guard options within the draft. If you're not going to do it in free agency, definitely getting a little more depth on across the offensive line, I think, needs to be a priority for this team. You know, but again, that's why it's important you bring back a guy like John Sullivan, who already knows the offense, is already in the system, and has proven that he can be a decent player for this team. You look at some other guys that you like to see back, Greg Toler at cornerback, who proved that he can play the position, you know, especially in a nickel situation. You definitely want to have a guy like that back, a special teams guy. So, again, depth, you can't go wrong with having more depth at the position, especially getting your own guys back, considering the fact that you've lost so many guys already. All right, so, again, you know, where did the question – now is, where do the Redskins go from here? You know, they're the 2017-2018 Redskins team is pretty much coming together. You know, we still have the draft, so there's still, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys that the Redskins could add along the draft. You like to see maybe if they pick up an extra pick or two in the draft. That was always Scott McLuhan's thing. So maybe you add a little depth there. You know, but like Brian McNally said, you know, there's no general manager, you know, and I think it's clear where the direction that this team is going in. Of course, you can always join the program, 202-803-6234, 202-803-6233. And I'd love to know your opinion. Where do the Redskins go from here? And where are you as a fan? Will you continue to support this team, or have you moved on already? 202-803-6233, 202-803-6234. All right, on the other side, we'll discuss that. Where the Redskins go from here, I'll give you my thoughts, and love to hear from you. On the other side, I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Where do we begin?
The Loud House. On CBS Sports Radio 1580.
This goes to show you, they just not about the right thing. They're certainly not about winning. And this isn't the right way to dismiss somebody, because he's so good that even if he were, if his disease, if his past problem caught back up to him, you do whatever you have to do to support him, to keep him around. He's just that good. Not to mention you got so many players saying they saw nothing, no evidence that he was at all, in any way compromised right on the job. But if this really was the issue, you certainly don't send him out the door by smearing his reputation or pointing the finger at him. That's why this team will never prosper. Like, that fan base is a dedicated fan base, a loyal fan base, but just like they fired him, if I were a fan of that team, I'd fire that team. I would quit that team. That is not the way you treat an employee. Yeah. And no wonder Kirk Cousins, he's watching people go out the door. They won't give him a long-term deal. And obviously, it takes two to negotiate. Mm-hmm. But he's looking at this situation saying, this is what I really want to be a part of long-term. It's just a shame. It really was sad and sickening and disgusting to see the information pour out after they said he's coming back after he grieves his late grandmother.
That was ESPN's Michael Smith giving you a sense of what the national media and the national media's perspective is on the show that is our Redskins. This is what it is. You know, this is how people are looking at this. And, you know, there's certain things that you can say on the air. There's certain things I can say on the air. Certain things that I can say off the air, off the record. Again, that's the same way that it is with this organization. To have somebody come and... Well, first of all, you have Bruce Allen release a statement shortly after it was announced that the Washington Redskins had parted ways with Scott McLuhan, saying that they just mutually agreed to part ways and there's going to be no more questions. We're not going to talk about this any further. But then you flip and have some executive come out and say, oh, he's a drunk. He shows up in a locker room drunk. He's making players in the locker room and everybody uncomfortable. I mean, why has this guy not been reprimanded? Why wasn't Chris Cooley reprimanded when he said what he said on the air? I mean, if it stinks, it stinks. And I'm smelling something right now. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and we can't deny it, but the question is, Redskins fans, where do we go from here? I mean, this is truly rock bottom. We have hit the bottom of the barrel. We are rock bottom. We're right back where we thought bringing Scott McLuhan in, we're right back there. We thought we had solved all those problems. And it turns out we never have. Scott was just coming in to scout players. He never truly had any power. So what does that tell you? That tells you, Redskins fans, that this organization, as long as Daniel Snyder is there, is not going to change. They're going to continue to do this dog and pony show where they trot, you know, some shiny new player or some general manager. Oh, yeah, Dansey's got nothing to do with this. Dansey's over there. I'm over here. My job is just to run the day-to-day operations and manage the money and manage the salary cap. And that's my job. And Bruce, he's going to run the team. He's going to get all the players. That's going to be his job. I'm going to call bull on that. That's a load of crap. You know it. I know it. And knowing that going forward, where do we go from here, Redskins fans? And again, I've heard so much speculation over the last couple of days as to how we can change things and hurt Daniel Snyder in his pocket. You know, Daniel's going to get his money one way or the other. So you turn in your season tickets, you stop going to the games. Well, guess what? He's just going to sell to the other team. So you turn in you stop buying paraphernalia. You stop buying, you know, or if you say you're going to go to the game, you're just not going to buy anything in the stadium. You're not going to buy sodas. You're not going to buy paraphernalia. You're not going to buy jerseys. You're not going to, but guess what? You paid for a ticket and a parking pass. And guess what? You say, I'm just not going to go to the game. I'm not going to support the team. I'm not going to buy paraphernalia. I'm not going to do anything. I'll just watch the game at home. Well, guess what? They're getting ratings. And as long as people are watching, showing up for the games, he's getting TV money because we're still watching at home. He's still getting paid regardless. He'll sell the tickets to the other team. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, you don't have football people running this organization. You have a businessman who's running this organization. His job is to figure out how to separate you from your money the best way that he can. If that means he has to tell you, I'm throwing up air quotes when I say this, I wish I was like, you know, the junkies and I had CSN TV. And if he tells you, hey, you know, I'm gonna hire a new GM, he's gonna run everything. We get excited, we get pumped up like Bickle, you know, watching an IG model on the junkies. You get pumped up like that. I mean, really. I mean, this is what we've come to. Our owner doesn't think that we have the common sense to read between the lines or the intelligence to recognize when we're being played. And we're being played. So again, where do you go from here? You have a couple choices. And those choices are you either continue to support the team and just deal with the fact that this is what it is, or you move on to a different team. The alternative is if things get so bad and you stop watching, you stop listening to the radio station, you stop buying the jerseys, you stop showing up to the games, the team gets blacked out, no TV, nobody's showing up to the games, not filling up the stands, guess what happens? Dan moves the team to LA. They got an opening in San Diego, if you hadn't noticed. So again, where do you go from here, Redskins fans? That's the question. All right, on the other side, we're going to move on for just a second from the Washington Redskins because there's another team in town, the Washington Wizards, who are playing the best basketball in the NBA right now. You're talking about a team that has gone something like 25-8 since January 1st and has now taken second place in the Eastern Conference, and I think they're two and a half, maybe three games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. This team, a lot to talk about with this Washington Wizards team. And what better way to do that than bringing on J. Michael from CSN, Comcast Sportsnet, to discuss the Washington Wizards. We'll do that on the other side. I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
Use the Force and turn up the radio.
It's the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
The turning point was Jason Smith and Jan Mahimney. They turned the game around with their toughness, their protection. Then Jason hit shot after shot, but we were flat defensively. Once again, we had 17 minutes of good defense, and when you do that, you're playing with fire, and it's been a little bit of a problem we've had recently. But Brad was on fire. He played well. I thought Brad was made a lot of good shots and a lot of good passing. John set a lot of guys up, but we have to do a better job of not getting down. This seems like it's been happening a little too often.
That was Washington Wizards head coach Scott Brooks on the big overtime win last night for the Washington Wizards. Oh, by the way, Loud House fans, while you were sleeping, your Washington Wizards just won a big game, putting them in second place in the Eastern Conference. And to join us and joining us right now to help us out and to discuss the state of the Washington Wizards, I got my man, J. Michael from CSN. You can follow Jay on Twitter at JMichaelCSN. He covers your Washington Wizards as an insider for Comcast Sportsnet. Good morning, Jay. How are you, brother?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm probably a lot better than you. I know you had a late night. I appreciate you joining us in the program this way, this morning. But wow, what a win for the Washington Wizards. I mean, Jay, I'm watching this game last night. I stayed up. And, I mean, the Wizards just came out flat. I mean, I know it's tough to get up for a Sacramento Kings team that's lost six in a row. But what's going on, Jay? Why is this team just not consistent enough on defense?
I just think they're not taking certain opponents serious enough. They did the same thing when they started a road trip in Phoenix and then in Denver. So they're giving up an average of 121 points a game and still managed to be 3-0 on this road trip. So, you know, you could look at it two ways, that it's, you know, that they're so offensively potent they can do that and still win. Or the way I tend to look at it, which is they just have some bad habits and thinking they can turn on the switch whenever they want to and then they can win games. And, you know, maybe you can, but, you know, John Wall and Bradley Beal played 40-plus minutes last night, and they then play the Portland Trailblazers tonight. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they win this game against Portland despite that. But I think it would be a lot easier to beat Portland if maybe you put away Sacramento early last night, and, you know, like you should have. And then you could have had Brad and John being under 30 minutes and being a little bit fresher for tonight. So it's clear that they're not taking certain opponents seriously because the defense and the effort just isn't the same as it is when you see them play Cleveland or Golden State or a team that's a genuine threat to them.
And that's definitely understandable, especially when you go back and you look at that Nuggets game where the Wizards were up big, and it looks like John Wall and Bradley Beal are going to be able to rest the fourth quarter, but the Nuggets come back. And it just seems like this team just isn't consistent enough and just not allowing the two big guys, the stars, to get enough rest. But with that being said, Jay, you have to feel good about the makeup of this team, you would think. And I just want your opinion on this, because a year ago, you look at this Sacramento Kings game and even that Nuggets game the other night, those were games the Wizards would have lost a year ago, especially with the way that they just broke down. Can we honestly say that maybe this team is starting to turn the corner and maybe they have a shot to make a run in the playoffs, maybe even for the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I thought they turned the corner. I thought they turned the corner a while ago. All the tests that, at least for me, that they had to pass, they passed. They've been a good home team. They're now a good road team. They've beaten elite teams. They've beaten the Clippers. At the time, the Clippers were elite. Nobody would call them elite now. But, you know, they beat them in December. They had that funeral game against Boston and delivered and beat them badly. They should have beat Cleveland. Didn't get that one done. But I think their game at least proved that they are in that class, that they can compete with teams like that. Beat Golden State. Started them on the slot that they're on right now. So, you know, they can, I think they've proven that when they're focused, they can be amongst the best teams in the league. Again, it's just a question of, you know, can they sustain it? Can they beat some of these teams in a 7-game series? I think what you saw last night also is, you know, you saw depth that, you know, Scott Brooks went away from Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat, put Yan Mahimi and Jason Smith in, and still was able to get the job done. There's no way he would have been able to take two starters out, you know, earlier in the season because the bench didn't have that sort of depth. So I think they've proven that they can be with the best teams in the league. And you know, I think the number two seed's, you know, pretty significant. If they can get the number two seed, then I say the Eastern Conference Finals is a 90% possibility, because, you know, the way things shake, that's provided that Cleveland is number one, because they could avoid the Cavs all the way into the conference finals, and I think they would have favorable matchups to them. So, I think the number two spot's real. But keep in mind that if you look at the Wizards schedule and you look at the Boston Celtics schedule, who they're competing with for that number two spot, Boston has a really easy schedule. I think 13 games left against losing teams. So the Wizards schedule is a little bit tougher. So that means the Wizards have to play better defensively than they played the last few games to make sure they create enough separation between themselves and Boston so they can hold on to the number two spot.
Yeah, especially looking at that, it looks like six of their remaining 18 games are home games. All the rest of those games are road games. So definitely going to be a tough schedule for the Washington Wizards. But, Jay, looking across the board, and I was kind of impressed with Yan Mahimi, the way that he stepped up, the way that he's playing. Jason Smith, these guys, since the All-Star break and since the Washington Wizards brought in a couple new guys, you talk about Bogdanović and how great of an impact that he's played. I mean, what has been the difference since the All-Star break? I mean, Yan Mahimi is a different player that we saw in the first half of the season.
Well, yeah, Mahimi came off knee surgery and then procedures to both knees, so he's finally healthy. That's the difference with him. He's actually able to play, and he's been able to play consistently. You know, before they had to, he was on a minutes restriction, and, you know, they had to be careful how much they pushed him. So with him, it's just simply health. The reason why he was brought in is by Grenfell is because of stuff that you see him doing now. Excellent pick and roll defending big, quicker feet. He has quicker feet than Marcin Gortat. He runs the floor incredibly well. He's really light on his feet. Great defensive IQ. He's a shot blocker. So he's a complement to what Gortat does, the pick and roll big. So he's a different sort of big man. So if you need, you know, they really needed him last night because Gortat just didn't have it. So I think that what he's been doing is a product of his health. That's been his abilities all along. That's why he was brought in for $64 million. When it comes to, you know, Bogdanović, it's his shooting. I mean, that second unit didn't have much scoring. I think they were averaging about 23 points a game as a unit before Bogdanović arrived, and now they're at about 32 points. So he's given them a boost offensively with what he can provide off the bench. But, you know, last night he missed all five of his three-point shots, but, you know, he's proven, as I said before he came here, when he came here, I said he's not just a three-point shooter. He can beat you off the dribble. He has a nice little mid-range bank shot. He can get to the rim and finish through contact, which is why you see him going to the free throw line a lot. There are lots of ways he can score. He scored 17 points last night without making a three-pointer. So he's not relying on the three, the way you saw, for instance, last year with Jared Dudley. If Jared Dudley wasn't hitting the three-point shot last year when he was playing a similar role to Bogdanović, he really didn't do much because he couldn't do those sorts of things like put the ball on the floor and create and, you know, make difficult shots. So you look at what Bogdanović has done offensively and what Yan Mahimi has done defensively. And, of course, Jason Smith, I think he's 14-15 in his last three games that he's played, which is ridiculous, shooting the ball. So you throw that guy in there mixing what he's doing. That's three core guys right there for the second unit that's really getting the job done.
We are joined by Jay Michael, covers a Wizards insider for Comcast Sportsnet, covers the Wizards for CSN. You can follow Jay at JCSN. Jay, just a couple more questions for you. Well, we saw the Wizards come out really flat last night, and like you said, just probably not able to get up for a Sacramento team who hadn't been winning much. What do we expect to see tonight from a Portland team, which tends to give the Wizards fits?
I'm going to see a little at McCollum. I mean, you take away those guys, you win the game. When the Wizards beat them early this year, they slaughtered the Blazers. And I'm telling you, Lillard and McCollum, Wall and Beal own both of them in their first meeting. So, look, they're trying to play themselves back into the playoff picture in the West, and I'm sure they remember how badly they got beat the first time. Despite the way Portland has been playing lately, they are offensively on fire. I think they're the number, since the All-Star break, they're shooting better than 50% from the field, which is number one among teams, all 30 teams. Field goal percentage, three-point percentage, they're either one or two since the All-Star break in the league. So what's happened is, you know, they made a transaction with Jusuf Nurkić, who they got from the Denver Nuggets, put him in the middle. He almost got a triple-double last night. And I think that's helped, you know, the guys around that big man play better. So they look different despite their record and despite how badly the Wizards beat them when they met early this year. The composition of the team is different now. So it's hard to say exactly how this one's going to pan out. But I think it's going to come down to Beal and Wall. Can they have a repeat performance as they did on both ends? Because when the Wizards manhandled them, it was because of those two guys, the way they played them defensively in particular. If they play defense against those two, the way they've been playing defense early in this road trip, it's going to be a shootout, and you can lose a game like that against Portland because they love just throwing the ball up. On a good side, on a good note for the Wizards, Portland's given up, I think, 113 points a game since All-Star break. So they've added this offensive firepower, but defensively they're still really bad. So there is a chance where the Wizards could maybe get up and put this game away early. But based on what we've seen so far, you know, on this road trip, you know, and it being back to back, I think this is a game where if the Wizards lost it, I would not be shocked because the odds say being on the road, second game on a back to back, you know, your main players playing heavy minutes the night before the fourth game of a 5-game road trip, the odds would say there's a better chance than not the Wizards might drop this one, but this is still a winnable game. I think it just depends on how quickly they come out the gates.
One final question for you, Jay. With the Wizards taking the number two spot, I believe two and a half back now of Cleveland, I believe. Do they have a shot even if they make it to the conference? I mean, this is a team that, you know, is a different look. You still see Cleveland struggling right now. And I said this earlier, I still don't think they have an answer for LeBron, but you look at the way they've played them tough this season. I mean, do they have the shot, or is Eastern Conference Final kind of the goal this year?
I mean, you have a shot. I mean, mathematically, you definitely have a shot. I mean, the Wizards are 40-24, so they got 18 games left, and you're only a couple of games back. So, I mean, you get hot and, you know, make this winning streak that they're currently on, 7 or 8 games, and Cleveland hits the losing skids and lose a couple more, which is possible. They just got worked by Detroit the other night, which surprised me. You have a shot. It's not far-fetched. I think Cleveland's going to turn it on and close strong and keep the number one seed. It's hard for me to see them losing that spot. There's a shot. I just think it depends. Look, if the Wizards can go 5-0 on this road trip, win this game tonight against Portland, then beat Minnesota on Monday, they come home for 2 games against Dallas and Chicago. Yeah. 2 very winnable games, right? That would be 5-0 on a road trip. You'd be 2-0 at home again. I mean, you can stack some victories right now. And really put the pressure on Cleveland, who Cleveland likes to rest their starters. You see them in the most recent years. Towards the end of the year, they like to rest LeBron and Kyrie so they can get them ready for the playoffs. Maybe they can't do that now. And as a result, LeBron and Kyrie are a little bit more worn out for the postseason. Maybe that makes them more vulnerable. So you at least maybe put pressure on Cleveland to put more wear and tear on themselves by putting them under duress like this. So even if you don't get the number one seed, maybe in the long game you can get some things done by, you know, you're making them play at a higher level than they really would like to this late in the season. So maybe that has some benefits in the long game. I don't know. But it's realistic. I think priority number one is to keep the separation with Boston, be no worse than the number two seed. If you can stay as a number two seed and put Boston on your heels, keep Toronto on your heels. But the big thing with the Wizards is if they play Boston on March 20th, I've circled that game a long time ago, that game determines the season series. And if the Wizards win the season series 3-1 by winning in Boston, that really puts them in the driver's seat because it gives them the tiebreaker over Boston should both teams end with the same record at the end of the season. I think that is huge and as big as anything else is getting that tiebreaker. Whatever happens, you catch Cleveland, fine, but I wouldn't make that the priority. I'd say getting Boston is the priority right now.
Definitely, you want to stay at that number two seed, and I definitely had that game circled, not only for anything else, but they're just entertaining basketball games every time they play Boston. Thank you so much for joining us, Jay. You can always catch Jay on Twitter. Follow him at Jay Michael. Great program on Wizards Extra with Jay, Chris Miller, Tony Massenberg. Love watching that program as well. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Jay. And I know you got a late one tonight, so get some rest, buddy.
All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. There he goes, Jay Michael, who covers the Washington Wizards. Again, follow him at Jay Michael. Love listening to that guy. Full of basketball knowledge, knows his stuff. But again, you know, here, I mean, Jay brings up a good point. And, you know, look at me getting delusions of grandeur, you know, like getting ready for trying to catch Cleveland because this team's two games back. Hey, they need to just keep the gas going, keep their foot on the gas, and stay ahead of Boston. That has to be the priority right now. Just beating Boston, staying ahead of Boston. Again, March 20th, that's going to be one heck of a ball game. Another game you want to circle on your calendar as well, March 25th, just 5 days later. It's a Saturday. The Wizards play at Cleveland. That's going to be another great game to watch and could, of course, determine some possible outcomes is how things shake out in the Eastern Conference. A lot of tough games for the Wizards. Like Jay said, I mean, if they can somehow figure out a way to beat Portland tonight, and Portland especially, you know, you can tell the team's probably a little tired, trying to rest themselves, getting ready for some big road games, but figure out a way to win. If they can somehow win tonight in Portland, pull out a victory in Minnesota, then win the two home games on March 15th, next Wednesday and next Friday against Dallas and Chicago. Then, I mean, you're in a different situation. The Wizards have already won six of their last seven games. Now we're talking about winning, you know, 11 of your last 12 games. I mean, it's a different ball game when you look at it and you add it up mathematically like that. But that Boston game going to be huge. Man, I mean, 12 of the Wizards' last 18 games are all on the road. They've got to be able to figure out picking up some of these road victories. I mean, you're talking about in Charlotte, which is a tough team, at Boston, at Cleveland, at the Lakers, you know, at the Clippers, at Utah, which is a tough team, and then at Golden State on April 2nd. WrestleMania Day, by the way. All right, so the Wizards, a lot of things can shake out for them, but they got to make sure they maintain that number two spot. All right, I'm running behind. All right, on the other side, we'll try to jump into a little bit of WWE news. Not as much as I wanted to, but we'll try to get to it. I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House. We're rounding the corner. It's almost time to say goodbye. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.
The Loud House on CBS Sports Radio.
Have you felt it?
1580.
But on April 2nd at WrestleMania, both of you will enter the ring. Both of you need to win, but only one walks out of the ring as the winner. And the other, sir, will walk out of the ring as the loser at WrestleMania. I'm a man that doesn't make predictions, sir. I make spoilers. And when I reveal this spoiler at WrestleMania, it goes like this, with all due respect. At the end of the match, there will be a new reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Champion. And his name is Bray.
Yes, it is. My favorite segment. Ah, never give myself enough time for this segment. But as you heard at the top of the program, Bill Goldberg, your new WWE Universal Champion, and he'll face the Beast, Brock Lesnar. We've been talking about it for months. We knew it was coming. Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Universal title, WrestleMania. Goldberg will probably drop the belt to him. It'll probably last longer than 30 seconds. I don't know. Maybe it will be a 30-second match since Brock Lesnar beat Goldberg. I mean, just Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar so quickly at SummerSlam and then a Survivor Series, and then he threw him out at the Royal Rumble. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Couple quick news and notes I need to get to real quick. Former World Heavyweight Champion has requested his release from the WWE. Former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger recently revealed that he has requested his release from the WWE. Swagger saying he's been negotiating with WWE on a new deal, and when the two sides came to an impasse and couldn't come to an agreement, Swagger decided to ask for his release. He also added, and his release is an ongoing process, and he feels the company doesn't value him and use him in a way that he receives opportunities from the WWE. And he's looking out for and looking forward to potentially working in Mexico, Japan, and the UK. I'd love to see Jack Swagger wrestling in, especially in Japan. I think they would do, they did a lot to rebuild, like a lot of the guys who have coming out. You look at some of the guys that's coming to WWE from Japan. I think it will be good for him, plus it'll get him an opportunity to get some different looks, different styles, maybe even a different image. Sometimes WWE doesn't do the best at building up images. All right, Daniel Bryan, of course, as you may have heard the other day, teasing about a return to the WWE, talking smack to Daniel Bryan, said, hey, maybe in about a year and a half, could be the Yes Movement all over again. All right, thank you guys so much for joining the program. Of course, you can follow The Loud House on Twitter, at In The Loud House. Follow your boy Chris Dowdell, at Chris Dowdell on Twitter as well. Like The Loud House on Facebook, THELOUDHOUSE. Of course, give your boy Chris Dowdell the old friend request on Facebook. Be happy to accept it. Chris, Dowdell. And it's been glorious to be with you today. Maybe the Washington Redskins can pick up a little of that Bobby Roode attitude and start learning how to win and build a winning organization. They've done some good things in free agency, but are you drinking the Kool-Aid? We'll talk about that more and so much more next week. Thank you guys so much for joining the program. Again, I'm Chris Dowdell. You are in the Loud House on CBS Sports Radio 1580.